We haven't been talking about a blessing. We have been talking about the blessing. We've been talking about the blessing. And we've discovered some things about the blessing. That it was from the beginning. The first thing that God did with Adam in the garden. First words He spoke were over Adam when He breathed life into him with His Word. But the first words Adam heard were the words when God said, "Fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and have dominion." That was the blessing. That's what the Bible said. And God blessed Adam. Be fruitful. Still going today. Look at your neighbor. Say, be fruitful. Say, multiply.
Multiply.
Say, fill the earth. Say, have dominion. Oh, you're just talking like God now. Amen. You want to be successful in life, learn to talk like God talks. Quit talking like the world talks. Because the world, by and large, has adopted Satan's way of talking. Fear, doubt, unbelief. It's been a progressive revelation. Adam should have gotten it, but he didn't even get it, and he was perfect. Think about it. He was sinless. He didn't get it. Because it's progressive. In fact, we found out that sin will what? Will it stop the blessing? No, because he sinned and it didn't stop it. But it'll slow it down. Sin slows the blessing. We could say it deters the blessing. We could say it is an obstacle in the way of the blessing. But will it stop it? No. No, because God never changes. And the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Praise God. That's why Israel hasn't been consumed. Because God said something about them. God says, eventually, and I don't know how many of you have been paying attention, what's going on. You know, the Arab world is known by Edom. What's going on? Blowing things?
But it was snowing.
Yeah, I think it is a little bit. It was a little earlier, I know. I saw some over there. But it's kind of off and on. But we've been just studying about Jacob. And Jacob had a twin brother, didn't he? And the twin brother, we found out, he was supposed to be blessed. He had a mantle when he was born. It was a mantle of blessing. I believe he was blessed. Some people say, well, Esau didn't have a chance. God ordained that Esau would be hated. No, 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 no. I don't believe that for a minute. If that's true, then whosoever will may not come. And God said, whosoever will may come. But what's the operating word there? Will. Will. Jacob had a son. Or Abraham had a son. The half-brother of Isaac. He didn't have to be what he was. But God knew what he was going to be like. And what you see today called the Arab world is made up of Ishmael and Esau's children. That's the Arab world. Praise God, there's people among them that are getting saved. God still loves them, loves every one of them. Has a special kindred toward all people. Did you know that? He just likes us especially. Did you know that? Say, God loves me. Especially. Now that sounds in normal. If you said that about one of your parents, that'd sound bad. But when we say it about God, it's true. He loves you especially. And so the blessing was for all men. The blessing was for all men. And when God began to speak the blessing, He spoke it to Adam. He spoke it to Noah. He spoke it to Abraham. He spoke it to Isaac. He spoke it to Jacob. The plan was, what He first said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and all the earth will be blessed by you. Everybody, all the families of the earth are going to get to be blessed because you're blessed. That blessing that I'm giving you is going to reach out to others. Get that down in your spirit. When I get blessed, it's not just for me, it's for others. You get to be part of it, but it's for others too. We found out that it has something to do with obedience and purity. And the way that that works is, you know, that the blessing works best when we're obedient. It works in spite of disobedience. Praise God. Somebody say, thank God for that. Whoa. God's a God of a second chance, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and till 70 times 7, I guess. God just keeps working with us, doesn't He? The blessing has to do with the anointing. We discovered that. We discovered it in Psalm 133. How good and how does that scripture go? How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For it is like, and it describes the anointing. It's like the anointing. When unity is there, there is anointing, and when anointing is there, the blessing is free to flow. God ordains the blessing in that. And of course, the blessing has a great deal to do with faith. People a lot of times say, well, I just think, you know, we're just giving people false hope, talking about the blessing all the time. Don't you know that this is a real world and there's all kinds of trials and difficulties? Yeah, we're not saying there's not trials and difficulties. We're not saying you're not going to go through some stuff. But the blessing supersedes, overcomes. It's the blessing we're talking about. And I want you to get this as part of your vocabulary, a part of the way you think about the blessing. And you say, well, I just don't see it that way. I'm not going to believe it. Well, as I've said before, you don't have to worry about it. It won't come upon you. God's not going to force the blessing on anyone. It can be nullified by despising it. And despise doesn't mean that you look at it and say, I don't like you. It means that you neglect it. That's what Esau did. He neglected the blessing. We're learning these things as we're studying through this. And as we've said before, sin will deter and delay the blessing, but it won't necessarily stop it. And it certainly will not stop it over mankind. It's going to be realized completely over mankind. Quickly again, a blessing means empowered to prosper. Or empowered to have dominion. Empowered to have dominion. And we saw that right at the very beginning, God put the man that He had created into the Garden of Eden, and His blessing was to fill the earth with it. With what? With the garden. With the paradise of God. Fill the earth. Somebody said, well, this earth can never be heaven on earth, but yet the Bible says, it shall be as the days of heaven on earth. It shall be as the days of heaven on earth. And when Yeshua comes to reign for the 1,000-year reign, what is called the millennium, I want you to know that's what He's going to begin to do again. And we're going to see the Garden of Eden restored. It's going to be restored. And, oh, what a day that's going to be. I don't know. Probably most of us will be in glorified bodies during that time. But there's one thing for sure. It's going to be good no matter what state you're in. Because the Bible says even those people who are still in natural bodies will not die young. People aren't going to die young. They'll live out their years. The way I read it, they'll live to be 100. Everybody. We're getting a lot more centenarians now. Did you notice that? In fact, anymore, they don't even marvel at somebody being 100. Now it's got to be up to around 110. If you ever watch Willard Scott, well, he's talking about a lot of 110-year-olds now. And they still haven't reached Bob and my age status because we're heading for 120. And that's the way we believe. You say, well, I don't see any sense living that long. Well, you believe for what you want. We're going to believe for what we want. The Bible says, what things soever we desire when we pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And so we're not talking about, well, you know, I'm going to live fast. See, how did that go? Live fast, play hard and die young, leave a beautiful memory or something like that. No, we're not talking that way. We're not talking that way. We're talking about living And you know what we're also talking about? There's not a one of us sees ourselves at 120 with a walker. I intend to really know how to dance by then. I'm going to learn those steps. I'll be doing the war dance then. You guys can start working on me now. Get me up there.
Mark your words.
What's that?
So mark your words.
Mark my words. That's right. That's what you're supposed to do. Listen to my words. They're words of faith. Praise God. So this purpose to mankind was to expand Eden, or to expand the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. Remember, light and darkness are not ever to mix. So now we've gone through looking at all of these different patriarchs. Adam. We looked a little bit at Noah. We looked at Abraham. We haven't looked deeply into any of them because it would take a full series of teachings on each man. But we're spending a little more time now that we saw that Isaac came along and Isaac received everything that Abraham had. He inherited all. And then the Bible says he went forward and grew until he was very great. And so we're talking billionaire status in today's language. These guys really had a lot of money, so much that Abimelech envied Isaac and told him to move out of the land. You're making me look bad, boy. Move away from here. And so he did. But he had two children when he was 60 years old. And those two children were Esau and Jacob. And God had told Rebekah that the elder would serve the younger, or we just plug in the names, that Esau will serve Jacob. Now we also, last week, saw how Jacob and Rebekah, or a couple of weeks, we've seen how Jacob and Rebekah plotted to make the blessing of God come to pass. Now listen to me very carefully. This can be one of the worst mistakes you will ever make with the blessing, and that is to try to force it. Try to cause it to come to pass. Believing it doesn't mean that you're doing something to make it come to pass. We talked a little bit the other night about, can a person claim a wife? Is it all right to claim a wife? Well, as long as God hadn't shown you that you're supposed to be an unmarried person in this life, yes, you can claim a wife, or wives, you can claim a, ladies, you can claim a husband. Now, where you can't do is claim a certain person. You say, well, why couldn't I? Well, we had to qualify it just a little bit and say, you know, it would be possible that God might show you someone who is to be your wife or your husband. And then, you know, you can get in tune with him in that way. But as far as you just wanting a wife or a husband and then seeing some guy, some handsome young man like Bo there, and say, man, that would be the guy I would have for my lifetime partner. And you just say, walk up to him and say, Bo, I got a word from the Lord. You're supposed to be my husband. Sorry, Bo. You just happened to walk in, and that name is so easy for me to remember. I could have done it to anybody. I could have done it to your granddad there. But you understand why you wouldn't do that? Why, Bo might be sitting there and saying, you're not the one he showed me. You getting it? See, you're trying to manipulate a human will, and you can't do that. We can't do that. And that would be forcing the issue. Now, if you really felt that God had showed you Bo as your spouse, then what should you do? Do what Mary did with a lot of her promises. She pondered them in her heart. You keep them there. You don't do anything to get in its way, but you also don't do anything to make it happen. Otherwise, what happens is the same thing that happened when God told Abraham, you'll have a son. Abraham says, Sarah, I'm supposed to have a son. And Sarah says, well, you know what? This hasn't worked all these years. And so take my handmaid, Hagar, and have a child by her. And if you would have seen the picture of how they did it in those days, they made themselves believe it was theirs. They'd have their handmaid sit on their lap and give birth while they're holding them, so that it was like that the child was actually coming forth from Sarah. But you know what? It didn't work, did it? In fact, we just talked about Ishmael. Ishmael has been a thorn in the flesh of Israel, right? So as we look at these things, we see people trying to make things happen, and we saw Rebekah tell Jacob, "Jacob, quick, your dad's going to bless Esau. He already sent him out to the field to get some game, and he said, make me up some savory dish that I like to eat, and then after I eat it, I'll bless you." And so Rebekah said, "Oh, we can't let this happen because God said." See, now, the word was there, but what was lost? She had the word, but was she trusting the word? She had the word, but was she trusting the word? No, she didn't trust the word. So instead, what did she do? She said, "You quick, go get me two kids out of the flock, and I'll make this dish, and your dad will never suspect. And what I want you to do is take the skin off of the kid and put it on your arms, because your brother's a real hairy man, and you're smooth. So when your dad wants to identify you, he can rub your arm, and it'll feel hairy to him." Now, the whole picture is a picture of what? Deception. Is God a deceiver? Is God's arm shortened that He can't fulfill His word? I like to use a little conjecture, and of course this is just things that come to you through meditation. But I like to see it kind of like this. They hadn't done a thing. Esau comes in, lays down the food before his dad, and his dad says, "Okay, it's now time for the blessing." Do all of you remember John the Baptist's daddy? What was his name?
Zechariah.
Remember him? God had given him a word. He says, "Elizabeth's going to have a son." Zechariah said, whoa, she's old, I'm old. Can't happen. God said, "It's going to happen, and just so your faith can't be spoiled, I'm going to shut your mouth." I like to see Jacob or Isaac trying to open his mouth to bless Esau. Now, that's just my thought. Or if he did bless him, he gave him the very blessing that God had for him, but not the blessing. But they felt the need to deceive. And we know they were operating out of what? Fear. In fact, Jacob showed his fear at one time. He said, "You know, I'm afraid that my dad might discover me and curse me instead of blessing me." He was fearful about the thing. He knew it wasn't right. She knew it wasn't right, but they did it anyhow. And to my knowledge, if any of you know better, it's all right, but to my knowledge, is once they sent Jacob away because of this, remember they sent him into Syria to seek a wife from the house of Bethuel of Laban's daughters? To my knowledge, Rebekah never got to see Jacob again. I can't tell you absolutely that I know that. I do know that Isaac saw him again because he came back and he actually, after he died, he buried him. Well, I don't know that, but I'm almost positive that he saw him again. He went back to where he was. So you see, there's consequences that are associated with actions. And if you sow wrong actions, you reap a bad crop. He that soweth to the wind will reap a whirlwind, the Bible says. So then we've gotten to this place now where they're sending him away. He's blessed, all right. Is the blessing stopped because of what he did? No, but it sure slowed down. It sure slowed it down. Because here is the son, not just the son, but the elder son, by legal contract with Esau, Jacob now has the birthright. Jacob now has the blessing. He's been given the blessing from God, spoken right out of Isaac's mouth, but it was a blessing from God. You say, "Can I do that?" Yes, you can. You ought to be doing it. You ought to be praying and speaking blessings over one another and over your children especially. Say what God puts in your heart for them. Begin to speak it. Let your children hear it with their ears. But Jacob hears it, but now because of the way he has attained it, he has sown bad seed, and so the next picture we see of him is going to get a wife all right, but he's also running for his life. He arrives at the place. The place was a place called Luz. Jacob renames it at this time, but Jacob comes to this place. And we talked about the place last week that we believe the place, when it's spoken of in the Bible, is the place where God said, I'm going to set my name, and he told the children of Israel, I will do that when they came in to the promised land. And that is the same place that now today is called Jerusalem. It's the same the place where Isaac was taken by Abraham when God told him to offer him there, Mount Moriah. And now Jacob has arrived at the place. And while he's at the place, what happens? By the way, what did he take with him? Remember, this is the heir to a billionaire's fortune. What did he take with him? No camels. No flocks. He had his stick. His staff. In fact, that's all he mentions. I do know that he didn't have a pillow with him, because the Bible said he made a pillow out of stones. Now, don't ask me how that works. That's not the way I'd do it. I'd find something softer than a rock. And maybe he put his cloak down on the rock. Probably did. But the point is, he goes away looking not blessed at all. Do you see any blessing in what he's doing? No. He's a fugitive. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I want to ask you who are saved. Have you ever reaped anything that you didn't want since you've been saved? Phew. Everybody say, phew. Yeah, we've reaped a lot of stuff we didn't want. Well, that's because God's not mocked. Sowing and reaping is that. But while he's there, God lets him know it's not over. The Bible said, while he was there sleeping in that place, he dreamed a dream and he saw a ladder that reached, its top reached to heaven, and its base of it was on the earth, and there were angels ascending and descending the ladder. Must have been a wide ladder, because most ladders that I know you can't get by one another on, right? They were ascending and descending. And I believe there's a tremendous prophetic picture there. Not only for Jacob, but for us too. And that is that God is really involved. Heaven's really involved with what's going on here on earth. There are a lot of people who are religious people, but they still kind of feel like a deist. A deist said God spun this earth into existence and he just stands back and watches to see how it'll all play out. I don't believe that. God's caring about what's going on. And he's showing this man who is going to be the father of the 12 tribes of Israel that he's in charge and that he's still there. He dreamed a dream in Genesis 28:12. And in the 13th verse, it said, and behold, the Lord, Yahweh, stood above the ladder. Didn't say he was on the ladder. He stood above it. And he said, I'm Yahweh, God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Yitzhak, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now remember, Isaac has blessed Jacob. Now here comes the confirmation of the blessing, and remember what we said about progressive revelation? Here it is, it's about the land, but listen to what he says. He says, I gave it to Abraham and to Isaac, and I'm now giving it to you. Now a direct confirmation. The 14th verse says, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. He said that to Abraham, didn't he? And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. Now as I recall, he didn't say that to Abraham. He just said, every way you look, I've given it to you. But this says specifically, you're going to spread into it. And in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, pay attention now, look. I like behold all right, because you know, it's King James English, but you know, it kind of gets your attention. Behold, look, pay attention. Behold, I am with you. Oh, what a promise. I mean, here he is camping out. Have you ever had to stay out any place overnight? Any of you ever got stuck? I got stuck with two other guys, so it's not quite the same. But I got stuck out where I had to... My camp was not over probably half a mile away from us, but we couldn't get down to it. We were so high and it was so rough and it was so dark, we just couldn't make it. So I ended up spending a night in the sagebrush. I want you to know it is a lonely feeling. I want you to know it is a deserted feeling. Two other guys with me didn't make any difference. I still felt deserted. Now Jacob's alone. He's alone. But God says, you're not alone. He said, I'm with you. And I will keep you. Shamar. Shamar. It's the word keep in Hebrew. Shamar. Keep. It means I'll guard. I'll protect. I'll keep you. I'll keep you in all places whither thou goest. And here he is going away as a fugitive. He says, I'll bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. What did I say about the blessing? Slowed it down. Didn't happen immediately. It's a promise though, isn't it? And now it's directly, not just spoken through his ears from daddy. That can get down in the heart. But now God himself has spoken. And I can't tell you how important it is that every word that's spoken to you be spoken, not just from the prophet. Prophets speak words to us. Praise God for prophets. I thank God for prophetic gifts. But I want you to know when it really gets is when you hear God say it. When he says it down into your heart. When he speaks it to you. And now he's spoken it to Jacob. And something happens. And I believe what happens here is that Jacob takes hold. He took hold of it. He grabbed onto it. How did he do it? And why do I say he did it? Well, let's look at the Genesis 28:20. It said, and Jacob vowed a vow. In other words, he spoke something out, saying, if God will be with me, and that's just what he promised, wasn't it? And will keep me, shamar, me in this way that I go, and if you'll supply my needs, give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again. He said, you're going to come back to your father's house, right? So that I come again to my father's house in shalom, in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Well, you know what we say all the time? We say, did you accept Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you taken Him as your Savior and Lord? Do you see what Jacob is doing here with his mouth? He's making confession with his mouth. Something that he believes in his heart. He says, then the Lord's my God. Then in the 22nd verse, he adds another deal. He says, and I'll surely give a tenth of everything to the Lord. Now, somebody said, how did that get in there? Where did that come from? How did he know anything about a tithe? There wasn't any mention of the tithe other than his granddaddy had given a tithe to Melchizedek. Where did this come from? Well, I believe it lends credibility to the fact that the Torah was in existence in people's hearts before it was put on stones. I believe there's something about that that we can see. And we're going to talk about it more, but we're not going to talk about it a lot right now. But there's something in this revelation about the blessing that involves the tithe. Say the blessing. Something about the tithe and the blessing work together. Now, Jacob's going away. What's he going away for? Well, we'll talk a little bit about it. Why is he leaving? Why is he leaving? You know, Jacob has been given the blessing. He's been told that he has a blessing. But I think Jacob's got something to learn, and he's still got something to learn as he starts out here. He is a billionaire's son. We talked a little bit about this last week. Jesus said, "He that's greatest among you shall be..." What? "He that's the greatest among you shall be..." "And the servant of all." The servant of all. I believe the big lesson that Jacob's got to learn here is about being a servant. He needs to learn to serve. And he's going to spend the next 21 years serving. But before that happens, he sees a pretty girl. And I believe he made the mistake we were talking about. I think he walked up and he said, I'm claiming you. Now, I love Rachel. I love to read about Rachel. But I am not sure at all that when Jacob chose Rachel, as he did, that he was listening to God. Are you listening to me? There's something about the way a wife was taken for Isaac that I think we need to learn about. And people living in Western countries, when people start talking like this, usually their eyebrows kind of go up and disappear somewhere up in their hairline, if they've got a hairline. And they just, you know, it just all of a sudden you can't see their eyebrows anymore because their eyes are open so wide. Because they think somebody's saying that somebody else is going to pick my husband or my wife. Not going to happen to me, by George. You hear people talk like that. Well, it's totally foreign to us, and yet we talk like we believe God's in control. And so what should be happening? We dedicated Joy Leah last week to the Lord. Praise God. God had some words to speak over Joy. By the way, I've got those recorded, and if you want them, we'll get that for you. I got some pictures, too, that were taken. So, anyhow, when should they begin to think about a husband for Joy? This little girl, she's totally dependent. She doesn't need a husband. Yeah, there you go. And keep it up, bud. I tell you, that's what we do. I think I did that one night when somebody came into the house when I had my 30-06 out. But I was doing something else with it, but it was out when he came into the house. You remember that? Kid came into the house and the 30-06 is laying there.
From then on, if you wanted to date me in high school, everybody said, "Don't date her. Her dad meets you at the door with a shotgun."
But what are we talking about? Well, what we do nowadays, we raise our children up. We get them to be teenagers, and they start seeing girls, and they start looking around, and they say, "Whoa, neat, wow." And so what are they doing? We've just kind of cast them out into the world with no training on how to do anything and said, just go out and see what works best. And, of course, we've watched years and years of this thing deteriorate until now. People don't even talk about getting married. They just find someone to live with. Isn't that right? Sad. And, you know, we've all around us, we have the products of broken homes and the pain that's been caused by it and hard feelings and difficulties. And I mean, it's a horrible thing. Well, when will we consider? Well, I don't know if we spoke these words, but Joy, the Lord is preparing a man for you. Praise God. A man, if you're to be married, Joy, God's got just the right guy. He's raising him up and he's being trained the same way you are. We just believe God's got somebody in mind for Joy. You believe that? See, that's when we start. And then as the time goes by, we take some steps and we help. Now, I've talked about this a lot lately. Some parents came up to me a few weeks ago after I talked about it, and they said, "Boy, was this ever timely." He said, "We've got a teenage boy, and he's starting to be an issue. And was this a timely thing that you spoke?" And so, you know, we don't know why, you know, we need to speak it today at all, but let me just say that I believe there's more to this than meets the eye. And you know, Jacob saw a beautiful girl. She was a beauty. She must have been beautiful. Must have been like Sarah. beautiful. You know, she's related to Sarah down the line, right? Beautiful. What is that old saying about beauty? Huh? Skin deep. It's skin deep. And what is really the verse that you would come up with if you're going to describe what beauty is only skin deep would mean? Samuel said it to Jesse. I think God said it to Samuel. He said, "Man looks on the outside, but I look on the inside." And for those of you that just think that Rachel was the neatest thing, she was. She was sweet. She was wonderful. But she had some real flaws. She was an idol stealer. Yeah. And that tells me something was wrong going on with her, you know. And it probably ended her life prematurely, is the way I look at it. And you can study all of this out and see it. But the point is, Rachel looks and immediately gets himself into a business deal to work 7 years for her. And then we know what Laban did. Laban did the quick switch, right? In the middle of the night. Now, you know, God either had to be involved in this, or Jacob was really drunk. I believe God was involved in it. Now, you know, you can look at it and say, well, and by the way, this isn't all about the blessing, and yet it is about the blessing, because the blessing has certain elements involved in it. I believe Leah was extremely important to the blessing. The Bible says, but Leah, if you read King James, had weak eyes. Well, that word doesn't mean weak. It means tender. I believe it speaks of her tenderness even to the Lord. I believe that Leah was a lady that had some prophetic vision. And I'm not sure, as I study this, that since Jacob took over eldest son status, that he should not have taken, and just let God put it into play, taken Leah first as his wife. By the way, how many of you ever fell in love? You know, I have. I just knew, boy, that I was in love. I fell in love, you know. But you know what? That can go away. It can go away. And it does happen sometimes to people that go ahead and marry. They fell in love, they got married, and then they realized that everything else they fell into wasn't good. Right? And sometimes there's some bad things go on because of falling in love. Right? But how many know that there's something deeper than falling in love, and that is the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, that grows and grows and grows and grows. I would have told you when Henrietta and I married that I couldn't love her more, but I'm going to tell you what, I didn't even know anything about love at that time. But I love her today. I love her more deeply today. In fact, you know, sometimes I just look at her and I think, man, that... did you ever bless me, God? You've really blessed me. I'm so blessed to have Henrietta for my wife. I really feel that way. Well, that's because I believe he was in on the thing. I don't know how he got into it, because I wasn't listening to him in a lot of other ways. But I believe he got into it. And he does that with some of you too. He's done it. I don't want you to go around now saying, oh man, did I ever miss it? I got to start looking for a way out. No, 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 no. We're not saying that at all. Don't you dare go out of here and say, well, he said I ought to get rid of you and find me somebody else. No, what I'm telling you is I believe this slowed down the blessing a little bit more because of what he did, because it caused all kind of strife and turmoil. But anyhow, he works 7 more years and he gets Rachel too. Well, Leah begins to have boys. She has children. Read about it, you know. She had 4 just bing, 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 didn't she? Rachel didn't have any children. So Rachel says, learned up from Sarah, I guess, said, here, we'll take Bilhah. And Bilhah can have children for you, and they'll be as though they're my children. And so they have Dan and who was it? Dan and somebody else. Who? Yeah. And then when Leah saw that, she said, "Oh, well, here, take Zilpah, my handmaid, do. You can have her." And because the Bible says she quit having children. So she gives Zilpah to him, and she has two more. Gad and somebody. Gad and Asher. Yeah. And then Leah starts having children again. And she has two more. And finally, Rachel has two children. Only she has one up to the time. So we're up to 11. Because remember, Benjamin wasn't born until they were back over into the land of promise again after they'd gone home. But this is going on. They're having children. And Jacob is working for Laban, his father-in-law. And he works for him and works for him and works for him. And so far, he's worked 14 years, and what does he have? Two wives. And they're two handmaidens, which become his wives too. Now, is he learning lessons? Yeah, he is. What's he doing? Well, he's working, and apparently he works well. He's apparently becoming a great bond servant. Working well. He's passing some tests. He's become a bond servant of man, a good servant with integrity of heart, and he's even in the, you know, let's face it. Some of you have had bad bosses. Any of you ever have a bad boss? Somebody you hope you never have to work for again? I always like to do that when Bethany's here, and I always ask her, "Have you ever had a bad boss, Bethany?" Because she works for her dad, you know. But you know, he took it. He suffered wrongfully, didn't he? He just did it. And he worked. Finally, at the end of the 14 years, and Laban says, I don't want you to leave, so now start working for wages. So he works another 6 years, 7 years for Laban. But the thing that I see is, you know, he could have become real bitter like his brother did. His brother was bitter. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:15, it says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." And if you look at the 16th verse, you know it's talking about Esau, because it says, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." Apparently, one of the things that Jacob's learning here is not to let bitterness overtake him. You know, he could be saying, "Man, I'm a wealthy man. If I could just get home. Here I am, I'm working like a dog." And I'm not just saying that. He really says this later on. He said, "I work in the cold and the heat. I worked in the night and I worked in the day for you." But you know what? I see him really growing and becoming a good bondservant. I see him showing integrity and suffering wrongfully. Some people around nowadays, they won't do that. "I won't put up with it. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm going to quit. I'm going to drama, drama, drama." You know what? That's not the way to learn. If every time you're met with an obstacle in your life, if you just go do something else, listen, you're in a mess. And it's going to get worse. One of the problems is, again, remember we talked a couple of weeks ago about who we hang around with? Who we listen to? You know, if all of your listening is people in the world telling you you shouldn't put up with things, you shouldn't allow things in your life, pretty soon you're going to become bitter. Jacob didn't do that. So finally, after the 21 years, Jacob says, "You know what? It's time for me to leave. Give me my wives and my children." Laban, listen to what Laban had discovered about Jacob. In verse 27, Genesis 30:27, Laban said unto him, "I pray thee, if I found favor in thine eyes, stay, tarry. For I've learned by experience," listen to this, "I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." Now what do we know about the blessing? When you're blessed, what happens? Others get blessed. Think about this. This is a man that's been mistreating Jacob. Jacob's ready to go. And Laban said, wait a second. Stay, because you know, I recognize that the blessing is upon you. It wasn't here before you came, Jacob. When you got here, I began to be blessed. How many of you have ever worked for somebody that you knew that the blessing was coming on them because you? I've known it. I've seen it. I've recognized it. And I've had some bosses that had spiritual understanding that could see it. They liked it. It's because of the blessing, not because I was the greatest worker they ever had. It was the blessing. But now, we've come to this point in time where we get to watch the blessing take over. Remember, it's been deterred. It's been pushed back. It's been held back. Listen, we talk about this. We've made mistakes. How many of you have made some mistakes recently? You know, we've made mistakes. We blow it. We say things we shouldn't say. We act like we shouldn't act. We've done things we shouldn't do. But if you learn your lesson, if you return to the Lord, if you do teshuvah, what's teshuvah? Repentance. Repentance. What is the Hebrew mindset about repentance? Well, the Hebrew mindset is turn around. The Greek mindset is change your mind. Well, really, they have to work together, don't they? I'm going along the wrong way. I get like the prodigal. Wow! What am I doing out here? I will return to my father. And so here we see Jacob. He's made teshuvah. He's repented of what he's done. He's learned. And we see the blessing beginning to take over. And the blessing has this power to restore. Say restore. Restore. How many of you know that the Bible says that there's times that the blessing will restore what the cankerworm has eaten and what the locust has devoured? You've been hailed out in your crops? God will restore it to you. Have you had children stolen from you? Job had children stolen from him. Guess what? God says, I'll give them back. I'm talking about the blessing. The Bible's telling us there's a blessing for us. And we begin to see something. He says now to him, Laban says in the 28th verse, appoint me your wages and I'll give it to you. And so Jacob makes a deal and he said, well, here's the deal. I don't want you to give me anything. In fact, all I want is from now on, whenever any of the sheep or the goats or the cattle bear, if they're, you know, we know what this is, but it says ring straight, streaked. That's in, what verse is that? In verses 39 through 41, it talks about the kind of things that he wants. Jacob tells him in the 29th verse, he said, you know that I've served you and how your cattle was with me, for it was little that thou had before I came, and it's now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. So he just reiterates what Laban already told him. So anyhow, he says, here's what I want. I just want cattle that are mottled, splotched, you know, the coats. In other words, I'll take the Holsteins. I'll take the ones that got little dots all over them. You ever seen a speckled sheep? I've seen them. They get dots, goats. That's what I'll take. Just the ones that are born. So Laban, now, you know, you read this, it's possible that he was supposed to get those out of the flock immediately, but I think that probably it's right, because it says Laban took all those that were that way in the flock out. In other words, he didn't want to leave any chance there were going to be any of them. So he took all the ones that were bred that way and moved them, what was it, 3 days' journey away. Gets them out of the way so they can't breed with the rest of the flock that Jacob's keeping. So Jacob's got all the solid colored animals now. But you know what the Bible says? The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. How many of you believe there's a transfer of wealth coming? How many of you think it's about time? Boy, I do. I think it's about time for the transfer of wealth to come to those that will use it wisely. Those that will quit using it for ungodly purposes. So Jacob gets a witty invention from God. And it teaches a great deal about how keeping something before your eyes is so important. Remember what we said about Thanksgiving? Be thankful. I heard Keith Moore say this. He said, people have a tendency. He said, I used to work in healing school at Higgins Ministries at Rhema. And he said, people would come in with 99% of their body whole and well and doing good. But he said they had one thing wrong. And he gave the example. I got this bad finger. This finger bothers me all the time. Arthritis. Got this problem. I can't move my finger like I'm supposed to. And he said, what they'll do, they'll begin to look at that finger. He said, that's all they think about. He said, they never stop to thank God for the 99% of them that's working good. And he said, how much better things work for us when we're thankful. When we look on what's good. Jacob begins to lay down. He takes rods of wood and he strips them. Puts stripes on some of them. He cuts little dots into others. And he lays these. And the Bible said when the animals were at a time of estrus, when they were getting ready to breed, he would lay these rods before their feeding troughs and their water troughs so that they looked and they saw those all the time. And guess what? God knows how. He knows animal husbandry. Did you know that? The animals began to produce in abundance that way. So much so that after a few seasons, Laban's sons say, hey, the whole flock's become Jacob's flock. You've plundered our father. Now listen, plundered. What did he get? What did he really take? He took his wages. He took his wages. Remember when the children of Israel left Egypt? The Bible says, go borrow from your neighbor gold and silver and jewels and raiment. What did they get? They got their wages. And God plundered them beyond the wages. And that's what he's about to do to Laban. He says in chapter 31 of Genesis, verse 17, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. Every time he'd have something going, how would you like that, you know? Paycheck comes in, you say, wait a second. I worked 40 hours and I only got $40. Yeah, well, last time I could give you $3, but now I'm only giving you $1 an hour. How'd you like that? How would you like to have a boss like that? Well, he says he changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. He's telling his wives about that now. And that's part of the blessing, isn't it? He said, God didn't let him hurt me. Well, the blessing, remember back in verse 15, God said, I'll keep you, I'll protect you. He didn't suffer him to hurt him. That's part of the blessing. Verse 13 of 31 says, wait just a second. God's now telling him it's time to go. And in the 13th verse, he says, I am the God of Bethel, because Jacob changes the name of Luz to Bethel, the place. He says, where thou anointest the pillar and where thou vowed a vow unto me, now arise, get thee out of this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. I really admire Jacob for staying that long. 21 years. I admire him. Some people would say, man, this guy can't learn a thing. You know, he doesn't have sense to coming out of the rain. This guy's treating him this way. But what did he wait for? He waited for the voice of God when to go. And he goes, and he makes what is called Aliyah. Say Aliyah. What's Aliyah? That's to go up. He's going up. He's going back up. God tells him it's time for your Aliyah. And this was part of his promise. And also in 28:15, he said, I'll bring you again into this land. And verse 1 of chapter 32 says, then Jacob finally went his way. Now, I'm not going to go through all of this. You know that Laban got up and chased after him and all of this. And, you know, we know about that. But we're not going to go into that today. It's part of the blessing, too. But there's just so many parts to it. I want to get through this. Jacob went on his way, chapter 32, verse 1. And it said, the angels of God met him. Now, when he left the land, what was the last thing he saw? Angels. Ascending and descending. He comes back, angels. Now, angels had been with him because they're sent forth, right? Isn't that what Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 says, are they not all ministers of God sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation? The angels met him, and Jacob saw these angels when he came back into... Man, this is great, isn't it? He sees the angels. He sees the angels when he comes back in. They meet him. Jacob saw them, verse 2, and said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Mahanaim. Anybody know what Mahanaim means? It means double camp. Double camp. Now, we'll get into why that's so important just real quickly. I'm just about done. But we read in the 7th verse, and this is the next big deal. He's back now. He's back in the promised land. He's back across the river. He's there now. But listen to what it says in the 7th verse. What do you see there? He was afraid. Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided his family, the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. So it explains why he calls the name of the place Mahanaim, which means double camp. Now, we see it, Leah and Rachel is the way he divided them. Their children, Leah's children, Rachel's children, he divided them that way. But you know, there's also a way in which we see the double camp of God as Ephraim and Judah. And I believe it's a prophetic picture of that coming up here. We won't talk a lot about it today, but God talks a lot about Judah and Ephraim in the prophets. We're into chapter 32 and verse 10 now. Jacob's afraid. That's a terrible way to leave him, isn't it? Jacob's afraid. It doesn't just say he's a little afraid and slightly shaking. It says he was greatly afraid and distressed. Greatly afraid and distressed. So much so that he takes action in the flesh again. You see that? He's hiding his family from. Who's he afraid of? Esau. Esau. Because he sent messengers out to look for Esau, and they find him, and he's coming at him with 400 men. He's afraid. But in verse 10, it shows he's learning some lessons. Here's the lesson. Listen. He begins to pray. He starts to pray, and in verse 10 he says, I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, and of all the truths which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff, we know that's all he left with. With my staff, I passed over this Jordan, and now I'm become two bands. This is Jacob's prayer, but listen now, he's also going to make confession of God's word. How many of you know this is the key? Not just praying. Listen, we all can get into just praying. Lord, help me! Lord, help me! That's good, right? What is that doing? That's saying, I need you. But listen to what he does beyond that. And this is the thing you need to learn, well, then I need to learn. He said, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hands of my brother, from the hands of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. Hadn't happened yet, but here it is in verse 12. And thou saidest, are you with me? This is part of his prayer. And you said, God, you said, what are we doing? Does God say that we're supposed to bring to His remembrance what He said? It's what He's doing. He said, you said, I will surely do you good. Esau's coming. You said you'd do me good. You said you'd make my seed as the sand of the sea. If Esau kills us all, we can't be as the sand of the sea, right? Which cannot be numbered for multitude. Now, here we are. We're at this time, and he's prayed a prayer. Now, it looks like that the prayer is, you know, that's enough. But God has a remarkable way of answering the prayer. What does he do? If you know the story, you know in the next verses that God came, and it says a man wrestled all night with Jacob. Now, God's wrestling with Jacob. But God is wrestling with Jacob as a man would wrestle with Jacob. I mean, can you imagine in all of his glory if God wrestled with a man, what it would be like? Yeah. And even then, we know he's holding back, right? He's holding back. But Jacob is determined. Is your faith determined today? How quick do you turn loose? Well, the Bible says he wrestled all night with him. And when morning daybreak came, God says to him, "Let me go." And he says, "I won't let you go until you bless me." And he holds on. Now I want to tell you what I believe the victory that was won there. It wasn't over God. He didn't force God to do a single thing. What happened was that the victory over fear was accomplished through this. And you say, how did God do? I don't know. But I know he did it because of what happens to Jacob after this. Now this is the key to this message. I'm sorry it came so late in the message. But this is the key to it. If you don't get this, you've missed the importance of this. Because we tend to look at the blessing, and we said the blessing was working, and what we saw it working with was abundance of things. But that's not the blessing, that's a blessing. That's part of the blessing, but it's just a blessing. What is the blessing? Jacob now learns that he can trust God with everything he has. He can put his entire trust and faith in God. He has a victory over flesh because all he's been doing so far when he's hiding into two camps is he's getting a fleshly safety. That won't work, will it? He has to have a spiritual safety, and only God can give that. And I believe the victory that was won there was the victory over flesh and the faith. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Lean not unto your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on the flesh. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. I won't let you go except you bless me. He knew about the power of the blessing by now, didn't he? He knew that it was real. What does God do? What's the blessing? Now listen, this is for you too. God says, verse 27, "What is your name?" Did God know Jacob's name? Did Jacob know Jacob's name? No. He only knew the name that he had been given. He didn't know the name that God had for him. God has a name for you. "What is your name?" He's Jacob. Not anymore. "Israel." What does Israel mean? Have you ever taken the name apart? You can do it in Strong's. Strong's will do it for you. Look up Israel in your Strong's Concordance. Tell you, it comes from two words. It comes from two words. Sarah. Yep, same name that Abraham's wife had, Sarah. What did her name mean? Sarah. It meant princess. Princess. When he applies it to a man, Sarah means prince. Prince. Or a literal definition that comes right out of Strong's is to have power as a prince. That's what Sarah means. And what's the last part of his name? El. What's El mean? God. So have power as a prince with God. Have power to prevail with God. So Jacob has come from the place of being a rich man's son to learning to be a bondservant unto men, and now he has become a bondservant to God. And guess what? When you're a bondservant with God, what have you come back to? The blessing. What's the blessing? Fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Have dominion. Do you have that today? Is that part of your blessing? Is that blessing upon you? Yes. We'll go into it more. We'll understand it. But the blessing isn't wealth. Wealth is just a blessing. But knowing, listen, Who are, what's your name? Knowing who you are. Do you know who you are? Remember, God asked Adam, do you know where you are? But He's asking us, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are in me? Do you recognize who I've made you in me? That's what God's asking each of us today. Say it. Say, I am blessed. I have power as a prince with God. That's you. The blessing of God comes after you and overtakes you. The blessing makes you above and never beneath. The blessing of God makes you the head and not the tail. He's always after you. I looked up that word. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. You know what that word follow is in Hebrew? It's hot pursuit. God's after you. And why? To bless you. Say, the blessing truck's coming. I'm going to be run over. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. The blessing. The blessing. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. What kind of richness? You name it. You name it. Every area of life. But you know, the key to it is, it's not just so I can have, it's so I can be. It's who I am. I'm in Him. If any man be in Him, he's a new creature. You know what the Scripture says? A new creation or a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Listen, you're standing here today. You look just like you did when you came in. You're still walking in your earth suit. But you know what? Inside, if you've received these words, something's happening. And you're going to take dominion in this earth. You're going to walk as a prince. Not about just being here and just existing and just getting through this life. It's about having dominion. Father, we love You. We love You with all of our hearts, with all of our being, with all of our resources. We love You, Lord. And we're so thankful that because we love You, because You loved us first, that, Lord, You shed that very love into us. And Lord, we know the blessing, and this is an area that we've got yet to get into, is how the blessing and love work together. Oh, God, we just yield ourselves today to the working of the blessing. We yield ourselves to You today, Lord, and even as You took Jacob and touched his hip, and it went right out of joint. Lord, so today we recognize the weakness and the inadequacy of the flesh, of all that we've tried to do, of all that we've tried to make, of everything that we've tried to develop, of everything that we have tried to cause to come to pass, Lord. And we yield ourselves right now, recognizing that every bit of that is futile. We yield ourselves to the fullness of the Spirit of God within us. We yield ourselves to who we are in the Messiah Yeshua. We yield ourselves that we might walk in the truth, that we might walk in the light, that we might walk in the Spirit. We praise You, Father. We yield ourselves and surrender ourselves to You right now. For You have named us Yisrael. As a prince, we have power with God and with man, and we have prevailed. Thank You, Father. In the name of Yeshua. Now, Yahweh bless you. Keep you. Make His face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you. Yahweh give you shalom. In the name of Yeshua. Amen.